Let's take the first 30 seconds, if you would raise your hands and just begin to seek God and thank Him for what He's doing. This is your day. This is your moment created by God. This is the day the Lord has made. Rejoice in it. What do you need from heaven today? What do you need from heaven? Father, we worship You today. We honor You. And Father, I thank You, according to Your word, that as You receive the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips, that that sacrifice is received by the fire of heaven. So I ask for You to anoint this space and this place today. Not because of man, but because of Jesus. Not because of need, but because of Jesus. Not because of want, but because of Jesus. We ask You, Father, to glorify this space with Your presence and Your power in a way that we will be forever marked by the goodness of heaven. You are good, and there's none like You. We honor You today. We thank You today. We worship You today. We are so thankful that what a pleasure it is to depend on You for every area of our life. I thank You, Father God, for all the different ways that You operate, but we know that You are the final source. What a pleasure it is to depend on You. We look to You, we thank You, we honor You. Now begin out of your own mouth to give Him praise and thank. Before it happens, give Him praise. Before you see it, give Him praise. Before you feel it emotionally, give Him praise. Before you got the phone call, give Him praise. Before you know the victory is complete, give Him praise, because it's already finished in Him. Hallelujah. Everybody said amen and amen. God bless you. You may be seated. We're going to finish up our series today, talking about finding the finisher. Sunday being Easter, we're going to start a brand new series, and it's called The Roar of Heaven. You'll see the flyers and posters and different stuff, and there's t-shirts and some new merch that's available. And so I just want to give a shout out. I don't know if she's here, and I don't want to embarrass her, but one of our members drew that lion, hand drew that lion. Isn't that amazing? It wasn't me. I should have said I did it, but I didn't. It wasn't me. And let's give her a shout out. I don't know if Bina's around, but very, very talented. I'm excited about that series starting next week. In review, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. If you have that, if you have a Bible, turn to it. If you have the app on your phone or whatever, you turn to it, or you look to the screen. This was our starting launching verse for this series. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher. Say finisher. Let's read this together. I'm going to work you today. One, two, three, read. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him. You guys are awesome. You're just amazing. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher. But the verse before talks about running the race set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And we've talked about in quick review as we close this series out, that many times in our walk with God, we'll get a hold of Jesus as the author. And if you have it, you need to. Because Jesus is also referencing to His word. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Can I get an amen? And so the reason I say that is because too many people, especially in the Christian world, and what I call the religious world, and I'm not into religion, I'm into a real relationship with Jesus Christ, not into man telling me what I need to do or not to do. Because many people in the church world that are good people are bound up. They're bound up, they're controlled, they're imprisoned by the expectation of humanity, although humanity is in the church. The expectation of a minister or an elder or a deacon or something. Now hear me out, because I'm not saying you could just blow people off. But what has happened, in my opinion, is that in the church, people that get revelation and truth, they try to put those on other people to do something. And if you're not at that level four, it could be not improving you, it could be hindering you. Jesus told the Pharisees and Sadducees that, listen, you take someone that's bound in the kingdom of darkness in prison, and by the time you get done with them, they're worse off than they were before. There's a lot of people that go to church. They love Jesus. They're going to heaven, but they're not experiencing what God has for them on this side of eternity. They're bound up. They got a weight. They got a burden. And you can see very clearly in the Gospels where Jesus said, you know what I mean? Come unto me, my burden and my yoke, they're easy and they're light. God doesn't want you to carry the weight of you trying to be something that you're not able to do in your own ability. Do you see that? And that's why we start with the revelation of the Word of God, because when you get the revelation of the Word of God, that's the author of your faith. That's the beginning. Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. And it's revealed by the Spirit of God. For eye has not seen, neither has ear heard, neither has entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love Him, but He's revealed them to us by His Spirit. Now, again, like I say on a regular basis, make sure you don't take anything I say as gospel. Challenge every idea anybody says in your own time, in your own research of the Word of God. Can I get a better amen than that? And so it's revealed to us by the Spirit of God. So the Holy Spirit reveals the Word of God. He begins the process of faith. He's the author. Say the author. When you begin to do a lot of things that you don't have a revelation on, you have to remember them, you have to struggle with them, and you have to fight to keep going. And though the idea was great, the implementation doesn't last. Right. Oh, I'm going to get up at 5 a.m. and pray every morning. Let's take it out of church so you don't feel guilty. I'm going to get up, and you see one of these infomercials, you're like, ooh, that's what I need. I need one of those bikes by my bed, and I'll get up, and I'll ride the bike 30 minutes every morning before I take a shower. And now that expensive Peloton is nothing more than a coat hanger. Come on, somebody. Because we started with a great idea, but we didn't have a revelation on it. Without the revelation, we're doing it in our own ability. And when you get the revelation, sorry, Jim, when you get the revelation on it, He gives you not only the information and understanding, Psalms 119, the unfolding entrance of His Word gives light, it gives understanding to the simple. It also empowers you to do it. So we start off any journey of obedience with the beginning of revelation from the Word of God. That's why even in giving, as a pastor, it'd be easier in the natural. And it might be better from the economic side of the financial team to tell everybody, if you don't tithe, you don't give an offering, we're going to write your name on the wall, or we're going to call you, we're going to hound you. Because if this is your church, you need to do that. It's important. Listen, it is important. If you're a member of the church, you should be doing it. But if you do it because I tell you to do it, you'll miss out on the benefit and you'll struggle to maintain it because you're doing it out of your ability, not His. Right. And that's why even in tithes and offerings, we tell people, you get in the Word. If you really want to connect to the blessing of God, get into the Word, find what God says about it, and let Him speak to your heart, and then you simply obey. Right. That's a slower process. But I found that it might be slower, but when you get people there by revelation, you don't have to call them every Thursday. Hey, I noticed on the report you didn't give Sunday. Yeah. You know what it means? I don't have to call anybody. If you give, don't give. That's between you and Jesus. Right. If you pray or don't pray, that's between you and Jesus. Yeah. But if you want to feel like, man, I would love to do that on a regular basis, then get a revelation from the Word. Because He's the author of our faith. Right. But He's also the finisher. He not only started you on the journey to serve Him, He not only empowers you to serve Him and obey Him and do what He wants you to do, because Philippians says that He gives you the desire and the ability to do His will. So He gives you the desire and ability, but He's also the one at the end. He's the end of the race. He's the one you want to look to when you want to make sure, am I still on the right track? Now, I have a nav in my car. Most people do nowadays. I need a navigational system. I put on a navigational system all the time. I could be going to get gas a mile away. I'm going to put it in the nav. Not only because I get lost a lot, but I like to see the destination. Yeah. I like to know where am I at in my journey. Right? Yeah. So someone calls me, hey, where are you at? If I'm meeting somebody for breakfast, hey, where are you at? I can say in a moment, I am 7 minutes away, 3.2 miles. Yeah, yeah. I know where I'm at. I love knowing where I'm at. That's just the way I'm wired. But you know what happens sometimes in our walk with God? Most of the time, God doesn't give us a navigational system. He just says something simple that in the simplicity, it can be complex. And He says, follow me. Yeah. Well, can I get a little map so I know where I'm at in the journey? No. All you got to do is just keep your eye on me. Yeah. Keep your eye on the Word. Keep your conscience clear. Just continue to do what I tell you to do. And in the journey, you're going to grow. In the journey, I got to keep looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher, because he's at the end of the race. And the Bible says that God sees the end as equally as he does the beginning. So when he's calling to you, he's calling you to destination. He's calling you to your destiny. He's calling you to your completion. And so he'll look at you in your fragment, but he don't call you based on your fragmented you. He calls you based on the completed you. He's at the finishing stage. It's just like someone who finishes artwork or finishes making something. What do? They'll hold it up and look at it. It's in its completed state. We don't need to work on it. See, God will see you, although he sees everything and knows everything. He also sees you in your completed state, and he'll call out to you from the place of completion. You say, I don't get it. We'll talk to Abram when he called him Abraham. You're a father of many nations, when he still had no children. Why? Because from God's perspective, he says, I'm standing at the end of your journey, Abram, and I'm calling you and inviting you to the destination of your race here. And I'm calling you and saying, you're a father. I don't look like a father. That's how you see you in the progress, but I'm not in just the progress. I'm just not in the journey. I'm in the completion. I'm the finisher. And in the finishing state, I call you the healed of the Lord when you still have a symptom. Right. I'll call you strong in the Lord. Doesn't the Bible say, let those who are weak say, I am strong in the Lord? Why? Because we are saying what God is seeing, not what we are seeing. Amen. What? My checkbook doesn't say it. Well, you're looking at what you are seeing. Begin to get the revelation of truth. Oh, I'm just saying the truth. No, you're saying the temporal facts, right, which change. And the Bible tells us to not focus on the temporal, but on the eternal. Amen. Which I want to see how it ends. I want to see. Have you ever watched a movie and someone that you're sitting with hasn't seen it, and it gets to an intense point, and they're starting to get nervous about it, and they're starting, it's just a movie, but to them, they're in it. They're living it. They're like, oh no. And then you're calm. Why are you so calm? I've already seen it.
Right.
Why are you so calm? Because I know how it. That's why Hebrews 4 says that we are strived to enter into his rest. Why? Because when you enter that place of faith, you begin to see how it ends. You don't deny or ignore what you're going through, but you realize how it ends. Why? Because you know someone on the inside. You know, say, I know the finisher. Come on, shout, I know the finisher. Notice this. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, in Hebrews, the author of Hebrews, and I believe it's Paul, but there's some people question that. The author of Hebrews gives us a summary, a cliff note, if you will, of what happened. Ephesians gives us a little different view of the same event. Ephesians 1:19 says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? What is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe? Ephesians 1:19. According to the working of his mighty power. Notice this. According to the working of his what?
Mighty power.
Shout, mighty power.
Mighty power.
Shout, mighty power.
Mighty power.
Do you know God's not weak?
That's right.
He doesn't have a weak day.
Right.
He'll never run into somebody that can outpower him, outthink him, outmaneuver him.
Amen.
He is all powerful, working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ. Notice the context. When he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand. You see that? That's exactly what Hebrews was saying. He said, just put him at his right hand. Set him at, by his mighty power. But let's notice a little more. He says, set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, all power, and all might and dominion. Far above. When he set him at the right hand of the throne of God, he elevated Jesus by his mighty power. He elevated Jesus. He not only resurrected, he raised him up far, 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 far above cancer. Far, 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 far above poverty. Far, far, far above depression. Far, far, far above every illness, every sickness, every tension, every problem, every attack. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue rises up against you, Isaiah says, you shall condemn for... You guys are getting quiet. You shall condemn, for this is your right, your heritage, your righteousness is of me, saith the Lord.
Hallelujah.
He is far, say far.
Far.
Say far.
Far
above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come.
Yes.
And has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. So it's just not, oh, he raised him from the dead, sit here. When he said, sit here, he said, I'm bringing you to a place that you will and will always be far above. That's power.
Yes.
That's might. That's power. Can we all agree with that?
Yes.
Can we all agree with it? That's some power. That's some might. That's some authority. Can we all agree with that? Can I see your hand of agreement that I agree, Pastor, that is might right there. That is some power. That's some mighty power. That is some mighty power. But don't you realize that Jesus said, I am the vine, you're the branch?
Yes.
What am I telling you? We understand, we'll all agree that that's the mighty power, that God has all power, that God is powerful,
yes.
And that he's elevated Jesus. But we stop there. But the finisher doesn't stop there. The finisher doesn't stop when you think it's time to stop. The finisher doesn't finish just because you think that's good enough. Have you ever looked at somebody and you're working on a job and you're like, it's not right, but it's good enough. It's good enough for my house, they might say. It's good enough. And most of us will settle for it's good enough. But when you keep following the Son, when you keep following his word, you'll find that what he does in your life, is he doesn't just settle for it's good enough. Oh, it's good enough that Jesus paid the price and he's resurrected. That's not how it ended. Shout, that's not how it ended. You say, well, that should be good enough. A lot of us will approach the throne of God and the will of God and the promises of God with the idea of, oh, that's good enough. God, you don't have to heal me. Just let me feel a little better today. Well, that's not good enough, God says.
That's right.
We've taught you around here that when you pray, when you ask your Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus, in alignment with the Word of God, when you pray and are asking for something, never pray below the promise because God honors his Word. He watches over his word to perform it. Psalms 119, he's elevated his word above his name. So if you ever pray a promise that, or you ever pray and it's below a promise, there's no power.
Right.
So the best thing you got is you need to get out there and hustle a little bit and see what you can get done. Why? Because you're on your own as far as it comes power.
Right.
Why? Because you're not willing to pray to the promise.
Right.
Because when it comes to the promise, that's the fullness of the finishing work.
Amen.
Well, I don't know if God could do that for me. And that's your lack of faith because you lack a word. Well, I don't need God to bless me. I just need God to help me make rent and get some food. Well, you can't find that in the scripture. I just need God to help where, you know, I just don't need to be healed. I just need to maybe take one less medicine.
Come on.
Well, you can't find in that scripture. And I want you to know, and I've said this before, that if you're dealing with the challenge of life in life, welcome to life. This is a rhythm of life. Jesus said, in this world, you will deal with trials and tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome. And the only reason you would rejoice that he overcame is that you can have access to victory because of him. So I don't have to look when I pray on, oh, this is good enough, what I can handle. No, if you're going to pray, you need to pray something that just will blow your mind that's in line with the promise of God. I think we insult God with little prayers. He's like, you're asking me to do something that you can do in yourself. And you might think you sound spiritual, say, oh, the Lord bless me, I got a 2% raise. Everybody got a 2%. The atheist got a 2% raise. I mean, what do you say about that? You prayed, the atheist didn't pray, and you both got 2% raise. That's not what I call a miracle. I'm calling a miracle when all of a sudden everybody in the company is getting a cutback and you get a raise. I like seeing doctors, and we love doctors. We love medical field. We people, personnel. We have a lot of nurses and doctors in the house. But I love seeing doctors get to a place, they scratch their head, and I don't understand. This does not make sense. Here's the x-ray. Here's the x-ray. And then there's you. You don't match the x-ray. Hallelujah. Say, I don't match the symptom anymore. Why? Because we're getting into what God says. We're going to believe what God says.
Amen.
He's the finisher. He's the finisher. So God's powerful. And yet many times his church or his people aren't. And we begin to believe and accept that's the way God wants us to be. But Ephesians chapter 3 says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with what? Be strengthened with might. Ephesians 3, verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might. Let me read this again. That he would grant you, okay, that means you didn't earn it, but you position yourself to believe you receive it.
Yeah.
That he would grant you, he wants to give to you, faith without works is death, something you got to do, but you can't earn it. Why? Because it's too big for you to earn. Because he's doing it according to the riches of his glory, according to the wealth of his manifested power and presence, which he wrought in Christ. We just read that. Which he utilized when he raised Jesus from the dead and elevated him far above.
Yes.
To be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Let me close with this phrase. God wants you strong. God wants you real strong.
Yeah.
God wants you mighty on this earth.
Amen.
Well, no. That's all when I get to heaven. Right now, I'm just trying to make it through the day. And one day I'll get to heaven. Listen to me. When it comes to the promises of God, the Bible says that the promises of God are yea and amen, which means approved, and so be it.
Yes.
Unto the glory of God. Jesus is one told the disciples, and I say this on a regular basis, told the disciples in that sample prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done. This is not a matter if, this is not stuff about just getting to heaven. And we want you to get to heaven.
Right.
Because if you don't get to heaven, everything's a waste.
Right.
You could be famous, you could be rich, you could be powerful, you could be in movies, don't matter. If you're not going to heaven, it's all a waste. Because
right.
One day, life moves so fast. And it seems like the weeks are going faster, aren't they?
Yeah.
See, like every 2 days, it's Sunday. And I love it. I feel like I just saw you. I talked to you yesterday. No, that was a week ago. But it seems time is going by so fast.
Yeah.
Years go by fast. Yeah. Decades are going by fast. Yeah. Solomon talked about life goes by fast. To do it and not get to heaven, to gain the whole world and lose your soul, it's not worth it. But this is not about if God loves you. God loves you. We love you. This is not a matter of will I get to heaven or won't I get to heaven. No. This is about do you want heaven on this side of eternity?
Yes.
Bringing heaven to earth.
Yes.
In Psalms, it said it was like heaven on earth. In your health, in your finances, in your peace, in your joy, in your strength, in your relationships, in everything, Psalms 1:3, everything you put your hands to. That's what I'm talking about. Because I keep coming back to this, and I want to keep coming back to this. It's just not so that you say, I have it, look at me. You say, I have it, let me tell you about Jesus.
Yes.
Because you can tell your friends about Jesus, but they'll look at you and say, everything in your life, I don't want any of it. I go to church every Sunday. I love Jesus, my life's just been miserable, but I love him. Would you like to meet him too, let him do for you what he's done for me? No. But when you become a light, that Jesus said, we don't bury the light, we don't hide the light, we put it on a stand so that it gives light to and benefits everybody in the room. You're not called to reach everybody, you're called to reach somebody.
Right.
And your life influences people, whether you realize it or not. And it's not living just for you, but living for him so that he can work through you. Genesis 12:2, I'll bless you so you can be a blessing.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? You know, it's not like, oh, you're super spiritual if you're rich and you're not spiritual if you're poor. Because we have measured things. How you measure that and you get a drug dealer. He's not even saved. But I'm telling you, when you begin to see the promises of God that are available to you in heaven, brought into your life here on earth, because you received them by faith, Hebrews 6:12, Hebrews 11:33. It becomes an opportunity to make a difference in other people's lives. 1 John 4:4, 1 John 5:4, 2 Corinthians 2:14, 1 Corinthians 15:57. It becomes a billboard of God's goodness. How do we close out? How do we step into this? Because I don't want to live my life spiritually weak and afraid of every attack of the enemy. Because it doesn't matter who you are, the devil's going to try to attack. So if you know he's going to attack, and Paul says we're not ignorant of his devices, why don't we have some tools ready for the attack?
Amen. Amen.
Some of us have protected our homes. You put locks on the doors. You put some security signs in the window and the front. Even though you might not have a security alarm system, you'll put them on. Come on. They say it's 80% of the security is that sign, but hey. You put an alarm system on your house. You get a dog that will bark. You get a gun that will shoot. I don't know. I mean, you got all kinds of options. But sometimes we live life as we walk through life spiritually weakened. And we think that's the way it should be. That the routine of heaven is that we walk until we get knocked down and then we dust ourselves and get back up. And then we walk and we get knocked down and then we fall into a pit, we dig ourselves out. We fall into a pit, we dig ourselves out. But I'm telling you, Proverbs 4:18 tells us that the path of the righteous shines brighter and brighter and brighter until completed day. The steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord, are they not? The Bible tells us we're supposed to go from glory to glory. And we're all growing. No one's perfect. No one's there. The only one that's perfect is Jesus. The rest of us, we're all working on it. We're all following. We might not know where we're at in the destination, but we're just following. I can't compete and compare because I don't know where you're going and where you started. All I know is where I'm at, and I'm just following. I've been doing it for 50 years. Maybe you had a longer journey. I don't know. I'm just following. I'm just following Jesus because at the end of the day, I want to walk this journey of life, not only in relationship with him, but also demonstrating him to others. I not only want to know him, but I want to know his power so other people can know him. That's what Paul says, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. The power of his resurrection. That's a mighty powerful thing. That's power. That's might. I think that should be a thing, desire of the heart of every believer, is that we have the heart of God and say, listen, I want to not only know him, I want other people to know him.
Amen.
Why keep it to yourself? You share a good restaurant with others. Why not share something amazing that God's doing? And you're not called to tell everybody, and you're not called to reach everybody. But it's an amazing thing how the Holy Spirit can work through you and help you invite and touch and reach and encourage and pray for and comfort people,
Amen.
The right people. How do we do this? In closing, Psalms 112, verse 1 and 2. Amplified Classic Translation, last verse of the day. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. You know, if you didn't know this, the cool thing about hallelujah, it means praise the Lord. And hallelujah is actually, we don't know the origin of the language. In any language you go to in any country, they'll say hallelujah by saying hallelujah. I remember the first time I went to the Philippines, as we're pulling up to one of our Hope churches in the Philippines, and I could hear them sing and praise, and they would say hallelujah. I thought that's so cool. I don't understand a word out of the mouth when it comes to talking, but I understand hallelujah. And I understood, on a side note, and I understood the anointing in their worship. It's like, wait a minute, I've been in this place, but I've never been in this place.
Yeah.
I've been in that atmosphere of worship. I've been in the presence of God. God's everywhere. He's so big.
Yeah.
He's so big. Praise the Lord. Blessed, blessed, blessed. It defines it this way: happy, fortunate, and to be envied is the man who fears, reveres, and worships the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His spiritual offspring shall be what? Come on, talk to me, church, so we can leave and I'll go eat at the buffet. His offspring shall be what? Shall be what? Say mighty.
Mighty.
Come on, say mighty.
Mighty.
Give it to me again one more time. Say mighty.
Mighty.
His offspring, his children, spiritual and natural, shall be what? Mighty. It's the design of your Father for your children to be mighty. Not weak. Not second rate. Not overlooked. Not forgotten. To be mighty. His offspring shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. A couple things I want you to notice here. What is the benefits here? Blessed and mighty. Blessed and mighty. What is blessed in the Amplified? It says happy. How many people know somebody, don't point to anybody, How many people that you know somebody, they really need a dose of happiness? They walk around, they're tormented, they're empty, they're miserable. They just need to be happy. Do you know God wants you to be happy? Oh, I don't think God, some preachers say, God doesn't care about your happiness. Then why do you say the joy of the Lord is your strength? No joy, no strength. Happy, say happy. Come on, smile at me and say happy. Doesn't it just feel better to smile? Some of you are like, I refuse to smile. Happy. Fortunate, that means blessed. God doesn't mind you having stuff. He just doesn't want stuff to have you. People that are against the, oh, I don't believe in the prosperity gospel. Listen, there's no thing really called prosperity gospel. God is a God of prosperity. That means prosperity means success and increase. You know what I mean? But the problem they have, and I understand it, is they don't look to the word, they look to people who mess up and misunderstand the word. And they'll look and they'll use people as an illustration. No, just give me, what does the word say? Because you know what? I don't follow people. I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Christ, not follower of people who follow Christ and mess up and misunderstand. Hebrews says that without faith it's impossible to please him. That he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder. There's too many scriptures, Old Testament, New Testament, talks about God wanting you to increase, wanting you to succeed. I mean, if it was all about God just wants you to be faithful and don't worry about increase, then the servant who kept the one talent should have been the one rewarded and not the one punished. Don't like it? Talk to Jesus. Not my story. It's his. Do some people take things out of context or a little too far? Listen, my friend, people take every truth. Not every person takes every truth, but any truth you go, I'll show you people who will go to the pendulum swings of every truth. But that doesn't mean it's not a truth. I think it's a tactic of the devil to get people to go to extremes. So they offend people from getting to the truth. Just drive down the center of the road and you won't drive into a ditch. Happy, fortunate, to be envied. You never thought about that. That God wants people to look at you and maybe not even like it that you're doing so well. Paul talks about that the church is to make the people of Israel that don't know Jesus, for them to be jealous of what we have because they are trying to get it by works and we got it by faith. Amen. Paul talks about doing his ministry that will cause other ministers to be envious so it'll motivate them. God wants people to see what he's doing in your life. In fact, one more verse, Mark 10. Jesus said, anybody who gives to me in the gospel's sake will receive in this life a hundredfold return with persecution.
Right.
Why? Because there's always somebody who's not happy that you happy.
Right.
You thought, ooh, I got a raise. I got to tell somebody. Careful.
Right.
You think you're better than me. I haven't gotten a raise in 10 years. Well, because your work is horrible.
Right.
You can't say that. You don't even show up.
No.
Happy, fortunate to be envied is the person who fears God. His seed will be mighty on the earth. Now, I want you to notice the second thing. Not only the benefits, which is blessing and power. Notice second thing, three levels. Man, or you say person. If we couldn't throw that verse back up there so they're all with me. Psalms 112, verse 1 and 2. So the man or woman, person, the offspring, children, the generation. Oh, we got to reach our generation. You can't reach your generation until you reach in the offspring, those closest to you.
Yeah.
You can't reach the ones closest to you until you deal with it yourself.
Yes.
In the principle of the kingdom, one principle is you don't give what you don't have.
Right.
Genesis 12:2, I will bless you and you will be a blessing.
Yeah.
Jesus said it this way, freely you have received,
freely
give. Peter said this, silver and gold have I not, but what I have I give. Now rise up in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Why? Because you don't give what you don't have.
Right.
Oh, I want to see a generation shaken. Will it be a light? If you're not a light, you can't help the ones around you. And so be a light. And when you're a light, then you're benefiting people around you. And if you're benefiting the people you have influence with, then they can benefit other people.
Exactly.
How do I change a generation? By changing those who I know. How do I change the ones I know? By being who God's called me to be.
Hello.
Person, children, generation. Person, children, generation. Person, children, generation. You receive by those you're connected to. Be careful. It just doesn't mean you're a little kid. It just means who are you connected to? You connect. Oh, I'm just going to go. And I'm not talking. Let me talk to the people online. Because a lot of people go to churches that their parents used to go to and they feel like they're forced to go to. And I just go here because my family's gone there 50 years. You might not want to be connected to that ministry.
Right.
Because they're just not giving you information, but in the kingdom of God, they're giving you impartation. You say, I don't understand. Put it on the back burner. Challenge it. You don't want to, you got to be careful who you connect to.
Yep.
Individual, children or offspring, generation. I want to see a generation rock. Great, let's start with you.
Yeah.
And then start, as you're doing it, you're a candle. You're lighting a room. And then Jesus says, then you're not only a light, you're not only a candle. He said, now you're going to be a city on a hill. See, there's a growth. Faithful in the little, faithful in much.
Right.
Increase. Growth. God just, you might be only just influencing two people. That's okay. Keep ministering to those two people. And in the process of time, those two people will be more people.
Yeah.
And then they'll influence other people. And that's how generations are changed. Praise God for laws. But laws will never change the heart of an evil person. I just wish we had better laws. You can have better laws, but pedophiles will still be pedophiles.
Right, that's the truth.
Murderers will still be murderers. Take every gun in the world, and a murderer will find something else to kill. Because it's bound up. Cain didn't have a gun. He just picked up a rock. Because murder was in his heart. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed, happy, fortunate to be envied is the man who fears, reveres, and worships the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His spiritual offspring shall be mighty upon the earth, and the generation of the upright shall be blessed. How do we step into this? The last two things. Number one, see the word fear? That word means reverence.
Yes.
Amplified says reveres and worships. Another translation says worship. As a sign of our obedience, we worship by our obedience. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the Bible tells us. But it's not fear that you're scared, fear that you're intimidated, the fear that you face when you watch a horror flick, because God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and love and sound mind. What is that fear? Fear is reverence.
Yes.
Fear is respect. Fear is honor. If somebody you admired, athlete, movie star, singer, whoever, billionaire, walked into the room, would you make space for them? Would you make a place for them? Or would you ignore them and turn your back on them? No, you give them attention. Why? Because you recognize the value of them. Because you reverence them. That means give them value. If somebody walked in, your favorite movie star, walked down the road, people, when these guys, individuals get so famous, they can't even go to the mall. They'll shut the mall down because people want to get close to them and to the point of almost hurting them. Why? Because they look at them and they admire them and literally they become worshipers of individuals. Bad choice, because humanity will always disappoint you.
Right. That's right.
But what do? They wouldn't say, oh, it's just you. They'd be like, it's you.
Yeah.
Can I talk to you? Oh, I'm just getting a soda. I'll buy. What else do you want? Why? Because you would make space.
Yes.
We say we reverence God, and yet we make many times no space in our life for him. Easily distracted. Can I talk straight to you for a few minutes? You might be saved, but if you get up and walk out while the Holy Spirit's working on the heart of somebody to get saved, you're not reverencing the moment. But I gotta be. I don't know where you gotta be. But if you wait to the time, because the human tendency is, oh, I'm already saved, I need to go somewhere, I'll step out, and you could distract somebody from the move of the Holy Spirit to get saved. You know what that is? That's not reverencing the presence of God. When you look at the Word, you're like, oh, yeah, I just got to get through this. I got things to do. You're not valuing the Word of God.
Right.
I want to step in this place of might. I want to step in this place of being blessed. Begin to value what He says.
Yes.
Because that's what faith really is. Romans 4. Abraham was fully persuaded that God said it, he would do it.
Yeah.
Why? Because he valued His Word.
Amen.
If we don't value His Word, you know what we value? The symptom, the situation. And that meter can change. Faith grows, faith increases. So we need to make sure that we're reverencing God and His Word, making place for Him.
Amen.
Secondly, delight greatly in His command. We're a Word church. We love the Bible. People ask, what's your denomination? I'm like, I don't even know if they created a denomination for us. We got people of all these different denominations. I don't like being pigeonholed. I don't like being boxed in. I just love Jesus and I love His Word.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I've been raised, that's fine. I've been raised Baptist. I've been raised Church of God in Christ. I've been raised Pentecostal. I've been raised somebody. Praise God, hallelujah. I have friendships, real friendships with men and women of God in almost all these different denominations, and I value them. I respect them. I don't have to see it just the way they see it, and they don't have to see it the way I see it. Let's get past that. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
God had 12 tribes. Anybody's not in my tribe, I'm not talking to you. Well, you can live that way. If God wanted everybody to be exactly the same, He would have had one tribe.
Right.
He had 12 tribes. And it's okay to look at people and love them and say, I love you, but you're just not, we're not the same tribe. And so I'm going to go and it's okay. We just love Jesus. We keep it simple, don't we? Love His Word. Man, I'm just struggling, Pastor. I'm just, spend time in His Word. Like we said the last couple of weeks, draw that life. His words are spirit of life. Draw that life. Get into it. Draw the milk of the Word. Get into it. Say, I'm going to spend more time in the Word. Why? There's been times in my life I was under such attack that I had to literally almost listen to the Word 24/7. Why? Because I'd get my inside to a place of peace and rest.
Yeah.
Hebrews 4. How long did it last? You'd think it would last a month. A week, sometimes not even a day. Next, I'm back in it. Why? I got to stay in it. Why? Because I have to keep my place, my spirit person, in a place of rest and peace to activate faith, to receive from God, and not let people take me out of it, not let problems move me out of it, not be so determined. I'm going to let God's rest be the umpire, the Word of God says in Amplified, the umpire to my soul. Settling with finality, all questions that arise in that peaceful state. Get in the Word. How much do I need? I don't know until you're into the place of rest. Strive to enter His rest. Your work is not to get it done. Your work is just to stay in the right place.
Amen.
When you take a shower, you don't have to make the water run. You don't have to drill a pipe. You don't have to connect a pipe. You don't need to be a pipe fitter. You don't need to dig a well. You just need to make sure when the water's running, you are in the right place. That's what the striving is. It's work. It's labor. It's a fight of faith because the devil wants you to move away from that place of what God is doing in your life, and the enemy's trying to pull you away. But be determined. I'm going to get more in the Word. I'm going to listen to the Word. I'm going to listen to preaching. I'm going to read the Word. I'm going to memorize the Word. I'm going to confess the Word. I'm going to do it. How long does it take? It's like, how long does it take to get out of a hole? It all depends. How deep's the hole? 6-inch hole. Shouldn't take no time. But sometimes in our life, let's get real. Sometimes in our life, we have some of us, and I think probably most of us, somewhere or not, we have been in a deep hole. And the prayer and the time and the Word of getting out of our 6-inch hole is not good enough. It doesn't mean that you have to stay. You still have a right to be strong and be victorious. You just got to be willing to dig deep in the Word. I'm going to stay in this, Father God. I'm going to be in your Word. I'm going to stay in your Word until I feel that peace. This is might not be exciting, but I'm telling you, it's practical. It's practical. And don't start at Genesis. Get the promises of God that you're believing for and read them and speak them and meditate them. I have a whole list of all my different confessions, and some I have by categories. I have at least 12 verses for any area that I might be dealing with. And I'll go through that, and I'll speak the Word, and I'll read the Word, and I'll memorize the Word. Why? Because it's important to me. Because I want victory in every area of my life. Why should I get to heaven and say, well, Lord, you are powerful except for these 17 areas of my life that the devil's just kind of ran. I don't want the devil having any vacancy in the hotel of my life.
Right.
I like kicking him out.
Right.
I like evicting the devil. I like coming to a place of saying, enough is enough, and let the spirit of faith rise up, and you begin to take command, and you begin to usher in what heaven has available for you on this earth, and live as a person with might and strength, not by your ability, but by his ability. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Say, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
Now give the Lord the biggest hand clap of praise in the next 30 seconds. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Father God, I ask you to blow our minds, embarrass us with your goodness. Let us realize without a question or doubt how amazing you are and how actively involved you can and want to be in our life. Thank you for your strength. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you for your might. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and do not have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm not asking if you know about God. I'm not asking you to join a church, denomination, or religion. I'm asking you this one question. Is Jesus Christ real to you in a way that you know for yourself that he's real and your Lord and Savior? Only you can answer that. But Revelation 3, Jesus said, I stand at the door and I knock. If you hear my voice and open up, I'll come in. This is a short prayer. Romans 10 says, those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, but it makes an eternal difference. I'm not into following religion. I want a real relationship. I want to know that my sins are forgiven, the condemnation and the weight of it is gone. I want to feel and know by experience that he's alive and real to me. I want to feel his presence. I want to know he's my Lord and Savior. If that's not you, that can be you. With every head bowed, every eye closed, as I lead you in this prayer, just repeat it and let it come from your heart. Maybe this is the first time you've heard the salvation, the gospel. Maybe you used to be saved and you allowed stuff to come between you and God and you know your heart's not right. Either way, this is your opportunity. Say this prayer with me. Say, Heavenly Father, I repent of all my sins. I turn to you today. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to this earth in the flesh, died on a cross for my sins, was buried for me, and on the third day rose again for me. Because I believe that, I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, wash me in your blood, forgive me, cleanse me, give me a fresh start. Say, Jesus, I don't want a religion. I want a real relationship with you. So I open up the door of my heart and life, and I invite you in to be my Savior and my Lord. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, I want to pray another prayer of blessing over your life. Just so I know who I was praying with. At the count of three, I just want you to simply lift your hand. You're saying, I don't know if I want to raise my hand in front of people. Listen, we're going to clap and celebrate. And if it's hard to raise your hand and when people are celebrating that, how do you do in the world? Let's cross the line and say, I'm going to serve him regardless what other people think. You can't live your life based on the opinions of other people. They'll mess you up, jack you up. You can't do that. We got to be more concerned about what Jesus thinks. So if you prayed that prayer, I want you to be bold about this. At the count of three, I want you to lift your hand so I know who I was praying with. One, two, three. Lift your hand. I see the hand. I see the second, third hand, fourth hand, fifth hand, seventh hand. God bless you. Eighth hand. God bless you. 9, 10, 11. Keep your hand up. 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. Did I miss anybody? Keep your hand up. 17. Thank you. Let me pray. Father, bless everyone whose hands raised. According to your word, I ask that you anoint them and give them strength and might and power in their inner man by your spirit. We sanctify them. We seal them with the precious blood of Jesus. And we break every tactic that the enemy's used in the past. Today is a brand new day. We decree over their life according to your word. Behold, all things are new. Today is a brand new day. The old traps are broken. The old addictions are broken. The old fears are broken. Father God, I ask you to send the right people in their path that encourage them. And anybody who has an assignment to distract them from you, I break that hold of relationship and I ask you to remove it out of their life. We thank you for victory. We thank you for your peace. We love you. We give you praise. And everybody shouted, amen.